Blind Lion. I'm Jonathan Mosel. This is ACB Radio Mainstream. And the saying, good things come to those who wait, is certainly true in this instance. Apologies for the delay in getting the program on the air too, if you're listening to this live. But one of the challenges of our age is trying to find a smooth way of switching from Live 365's EasyCast mode, where we do most of the programming, to the live mode, and every so often the servers throw a wobbly when you try to do that in a smooth way. I shall be talking to people about this. In the meantime, though, an interesting program coming up. We have Cathy Ann Merthyr on the program. She'll be known to many of you as somebody who's been involved in Cathy's newsstand, web advocacy and tutorials, and you're welcome to phone in and ask Cathy Ann any questions that you have for her, or you'd like to compliment her on her work. It's always nice to hear some good vibes. And we'll, after that, open the lines for general discussion. If you have anything that you would like to talk about, we might even run a little bit later this time, since we've started a bit late. First, though, let's welcome to the program Cathy Ann Merthyr of Cathy's Newsstand, now with its own domain name, I see, at www.cathyann.com. Cathy Ann, thank you for being so patient, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me about how you got involved in the computer scene. When did you get your first computer?
Oh gosh, I got my first computer in 1993. I had just started college and I needed a computer, and so I got one. And I started to, the first thing I did was get on the internet. And then I realized that we needed a little bit of help with accessibility, and that's when I started that. And when I decided to learn web design and put up my newsstand, and it's been up for, oh, wow, almost six and a half years now.
Because in those days, I suppose, links would have been the big thing that people were surfing the web with.
Yeah, I started out with links and Pine using Unix, and I graduated into Windows 3.1 and then on to 95 and now into 98.
And do you think that we're better off now? Is access to the web getting better all the time thanks to the efforts of people like yourself?
I think we are doing so much better now than we were in the past because of the advances of the screen reading technology, with the screen readers being able to use read Java now, and the ability to use voice interaction on the internet, listening to your show on the internet. We have so much more access now than we did in the past, and the W3C has really played a big part in helping bring accessibility to the forefront. There's a lot of little people out there writing letters, and it means a lot, because every web designer that realizes we're out here takes a little bit more of a step toward total access, and it's really a wonderful thing.
So what do you think's making the biggest difference? Is it the fact that people are now becoming more aware that we're out there and that we have needs and it's easy to accommodate them, or is it that the screen reading technology is getting better, or is there a convergence of a bit of both there?
I believe it's both. I think that in the very beginning, when we were confined to Link and others were being able to use Windows access, we were really at a disadvantage. But as the screen reader started to develop and we were able to use the Windows browsers and begin to access all of the elements that everybody else had been for so long, it started to turn around. And then we started getting the news out that we needed the access, and people are starting to listen and understand and start to make their site speech-friendly. And so this convergence has really been a positive thing, and I think we're coming closer together to a happy medium with each day.
What do you think constitutes accessibility? Or I guess you can answer the question in reverse. What actually constitutes inaccessibility? Because I suppose that when you look at some of these tools like Bobby that are out there, and people put their sites through those tools, it can be quite disheartening. And yet most people find screen readers perfectly accessible without some of those Bobby-approved type standards.
You're absolutely right. In the past, Bobby was something we desperately needed, but now with the Windows, with the screen reader's ability to read tables and to reformat pages, and the MSAA access that's being used, Bobby is becoming more stringent than we truly need. There are those who are still browsing in links, and so they do need that access, but more and more people are taking that step toward Windows. And I think what makes a site totally inaccessible is when you have all the flash and splash and none of the accessibility. You don't have the alt tags. You don't have the ability to reformat a page. Basically, when you have sloppy HTML thrown up on a page, you have in accessibility. If a page is written with good, solid HTML and you can validate it properly, then you're pretty much going to have an accessible web page for the blind and visually impaired, as long as alt tags are used.
You're welcome to call in and have a chat with Kathy Ann Merthyr, and we have a call on the line now from area code 924. Hello, you're speaking with Kathy Ann Merthyr.
Hi, guys. This is actually 920.
Nice to hear
Hello.
From you. You got a question for Kathy Ann?
Yes, I do. Kathy Ann, this is Michael Cattell in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hi.
Hi, I'm the 17-year-old there on Access Tech.
Yes, I know you well.
All right. A question for you is, what made you get interested, maybe I missed it, but what made you get interested in the newsstand, and what is the future, goal, your mission statement? And I want to comment you on a job well done, and Jonathan, thank you for having me on.
My goal, it changes with each passing day. I think my current goal is to upgrade the newsstand, get it up and running really well, and upgrade all the links that have been dead over the past couple of years because I haven't had time to devote to it. And also to provide a place maybe where people can interact with one another on Access and learning different applications that are available in Windows. My goal is to also start to do some online teaching. That would be a really nice thing, I think, that I would like to do, because there's so many people like myself. I was stuck on a mountain for so long, and it took me so much to learn. And to be able to share what I know with others via the Internet would be such a wonderful thing, I think.
So what inspired the newsstand in particular? I mean, there are lots of resources out there. Why concentrate on newspapers in particular?
I was a student, and I have always had a strong interest in literature. I was an English major. I was having to write papers, lots and lots of research papers. And I realized I needed some place I could go to access the newspapers and journals and magazines. And as I started to browse the net, I saw they were all there, but nobody had really gathered them together into a speech-friendly format, into a format that I could access. So I decided to do it for myself and to share it with the rest of my community.
Do you get lots of hits on that site?
Pardon me?
Do you get a lot of hits to the site?
Gosh, I had a counter on it at one time, and when I took the counter down, it was at nearly a million hits. So I think it's a relatively popular site in the blind community, and judging from the feedback I get, I probably get 30 or 40 letters a day from people saying, here's a link you can add, or will you add me, or good job. So I think it does get a lot of hits, but I have a year, so I can't be sure.
When did Kathy's newsstand come online?
I went online with it in the summer of 1993. I started learning HTML basically right after I started to learn Windows, and I put it up in mid-1993 as a very rudimentary site, and then it started to grow over the next few months. So by January of 94, it was what you see today.
Yes, because in 1993, the web was really still in its infancy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was, and it was really inaccessible. You know, I would go to these pages that had newspapers, and they advertised it that you could access any newspaper you wanted, but all I would hear would be link, 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 you know, image, 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 but I wouldn't be able to access anything. And so that's what made me want to put together the newsstand, because I think being able to read a newspaper, being able to access the current news, brings somebody into the real world. And that, if that's someone's first introduction to the real world, I think it's a real blessing. They don't have to have someone read it to them anymore. They can read it for themselves.
We're speaking with Kathy Ann Merthyr on Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you're listening to this program between 9 and 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific on Wednesday evening, that's 1 to 3 GMT on a Thursday morning, then it is live. And you can find, if you hit the title key when you're in your player, the telephone number to call. But just in case you don't have access to it for any reason, stand by and I'll give it to you. It's a New York number, so call 212-812-2800 if you have a question for Kathy Ann. That's 212-812-2800, and then enter the PIN 10834173. That PIN 108173. I see you've even had a look at the web interface for this thing, Kathy Ann. What do you think of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad, not bad. It allows us to see who's calling in and all sorts of things and manage the calls. Anyway, let me ask you about your early efforts in web accessibility, because I think you're just about the original web accessibility advocate, being on the web as long as you have been. How did you approach web designers in those early days about your needs as a blind person, and what was the reaction?
Actually, the reaction was overwhelmingly positive. I wrote up a letter, and I would send it to sites that I couldn't access, and I would basically say, you have a wonderful resource. Unfortunately, I can't access it, and this is why. And I would give suggestions as to what they could do to make the site more accessible, whether it be giving a alternative format at that time, or possibly offering tables that would degenerate better in links. I gave them a number of options and offered to follow up with them. And most of the feedback I got was overwhelmingly positive. And as I started to get more and more response, I would get a few negative ones, and that's when I would employ the assistance of others on the internet. I would send it into a mailing list and say, this person doesn't believe we're out here, so maybe you guys can help. And all of a sudden, they would be inundated with all these blind people wanting access, and they would write me and say, okay, I give up. but there is strength in numbers. And
yeah.
I think I had some success in those early days.
I'm sure that there are a lot of people who just don't even realize that there are blind people using the web at all.
Oh, yeah. I would get letters saying, my gosh, you're blind. How do you do this? Even today, when I will contact somebody, because I still do it to this day, I will get, you're blind? What? How do you do this? And I will just say, you have a graphical link here, and it doesn't have a tag on it, so I can't purchase your products. Can you fix that? And I've had people log onto their server right then and fix the problem so that I could finish placing an order just by refreshing my page. People are very eager to please, and I think it's always how we communicate with them that we take a positive stance on it. I've never approached anyone and said, you are such a dummy, you need to fix this. It's always been a very positive and reinforcing thing.
So you would say that people who go in with all guns blazing and say, we have a moral right to have this thing accessible, et cetera, are actually doing more harm than good?
I think they are. I think if you go in and tell someone they're stupid and they're ridiculous and you're going to sue them, then, sometimes lawsuits are the only option. If you go to somebody and you ask them over and over and over and over again and they don't listen, like with AOL, then maybe action has to be taken. However, with the little web designers, I think if you go in with guns blazing, you're going to end up meeting a stone wall. They don't have to change. We want them to. And like my mom used to say, you get more flies with honey.
How do you think the consumer organizations of the blind, particularly in the U.S., have reacted to the advent of the Internet? Do you think that they understand advocating for Internet access as well as they might for other issues of access and civil rights?
I think that the blind community needs to come together, and they need to come to a common understanding. Most of the disability groups in the nation have a common goal. In the blind community, it's very splintered. One group wants this, another group wants that. And it's very unfortunate that one group is pulling in one direction and the other is pulling in another direction, and nobody can really get together and meet in the middle. I'm hoping that as time goes on and the Internet becomes more of an everyday thing in everybody's lives, that they will realize that, we need to combine our forces, and if we have the entire blind population behind a common goal, it's a lot harder to beat us than it is to beat us when we're all splintered and diversified.
Mind you, there can be, I suppose, some dangers in cross-disability efforts. One of the interesting things about CSUN, for instance, is that there's a lot of fantastic programming there that some of us can't get to. And they have, for example, their dueling scanners session and a whole range of other presentations which are of interest. But my understanding is that CSUN won't make that available in real audio on the web, or even real media or Windows Media or whatever, until they can provide it to everyone, which would mean captioning everything so that everyone can access it. Is that reasonable, do you think?
I think that baby steps need to be taken. If you can make it accessible to one group, do it. and then work to make it accessible to another and another and another. If you try and do it all at one time, it could take years and years and years. Whereas if you work on one piece at a time and get one piece up there, at least you're showing you're making an effort and you're doing something.
Now, you've also been involved in the tutorial business. In fact, I remember purchasing your Mastering HTML tutorial, which is how I learned to write HTML the hard way, incidentally. Nowadays, I use one of those naughty WYSIWYG editors. But how did you get into that business? You saw a niche there, I guess.
Yeah, I designed my web page, and then I realized there were others out there who wanted to do the same thing. They were writing me and asking me, how do you do this and how do you do that? So I decided I would put together a tutorial, and it sold fairly well, and then I put together another one. I am now in the process of revamping them for the new browser versions, new Eudora version. I've also got want to write one for Windows 98. There's things I want to do because I think that it's really needed. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the access. I recently started working for the Society for the Blind here in Sacramento teaching, and I get a lot of phone calls from people who can't come into class if they live up in the Thule. But the tutorials have helped them, and I think it's really a positive thing, and it reaches out to those who need it, especially if I keep the price affordable.
So did the job that you now have come as a direct result of the profile that you have in the web accessibility and tutorial arena?
Yeah, kind of. Brian Bashan, you may know him from some of the lists. He's the executive director at the Society, and he was always telling me that one day he was going to get me to work for him. And I was telling him, no way, I'm going to be an English major, I'm going to teach English. And now here I am, 2 years later, working for Bri as an access technology specialist. So he was right, and I love it. I really do love it. It's a very positive experience for me. And Sacramento's a great city to work in, and I've had some wonderful, wonderful students.
There was a conference just not so long ago about looking at standards for technology trainers in the blindness field. What's your assessment of the quality of training at the moment?
Well, I started a list called Access Tech for Access Technology Specialists, an email list, and pretty much everybody who works in the field has joined it. I'm very fortunate that they've done that. And I found that the quality of instruction in the blind community is amazing, of the blind to the blind. There are those, however, who believe just because they're sighted and know how to use a mouse, they can teach access technology to the blind and visually impaired better than we can ourselves. And I'm finding that it's a real problem with people have come to me and have gone to 6, 7, 8 months of training with other people, and they know virtually nothing. So I at first thought, certification was something was, but never how. I'm wondering if maybe we shouldn't start the certification process so that we can variety and keep those who don't know what they're doing, including our peers, by giving inferior training.
I have a theory about this, which is that often you have instructors who teach that if you push this button, this will happen, as opposed to teaching concepts which can then be applied across different Windows applications. Do you think that's a fair comment?
Oh, I do. I think that's very fair. I've had clients come in and say, well, I know in Microsoft Word, if you use your up and down arrow, you can do this, but they don't understand that you can also access the list view in any other application in the same way. They don't hear what they're listening to. They just know what they're told to do, and they're told to memorize steps. And my whole idea of teaching, my whole concept, is to teach the concepts of Windows and the elements of Windows and how they all interact and intermingle, and if you can access one program, you can learn to access another. And I think that's what the blind community and the blind instructors do. We teach the concepts and we listen to what's happening and we know what's happening when there's a problem. Whereas the sighted teachers or those who are not as experienced as those of us who've worked with screeners for so many years walk over, do a few clicks of the mouse, fix the problem, and send the person on their way again, but they've learned nothing. They don't know how to get themselves out of it next time.
But then do you get some resistance from students with that approach at times? People who say, well, look, don't bother me with all this complicated stuff. I just want to know what to do.
Absolutely not. Without exception, every single one of my students has been absolutely enthralled with what I'm doing. They love learning the concepts. They want to know more. Sometimes I don't go into detail enough, and they'll ask me questions and make me come up with another analogy of what they're doing. They want to have some sort of, I guess you would call it a visualization of what's happening on the screen, what's happening when that menu opens up. I've actually literally had to take a piece of paper and fold it up and pull it down for them to show them what a menu does. They're just for years underdoing and understanding it. We're not just trying concept of what's happening. That's what makes those of us who are blind, I think, better teachers of our peers.
Now, you're an experienced trainer and user. What's the best screen reader?
It depends on what you want to do. I really believe that. For example, I have clients who come in and all they want to do is email and all they want to do is Microsoft Word and they want to do it quick and easy. And I would suggest for those clients to use WindowEye because it's very easy to configure. You can get those hotkeys going and it's a wonderful program. However, I have students coming in who need to use Excel. They need to do some more advanced work in tables in Microsoft Word, and unfortunately right now WindowEye doesn't access tables in Word very well, and it doesn't have very many hotkeys or accessibility features for Excel, so I recommend JAWS for those clients. It really is dependent upon what the student wants to do. If the student wants the basics, I'll send them to WindowEye. If they want the more advanced features of Excel, etc., I send them to JAWS. But by far, most of my clients right now are WindowEye clients because that's what they need right now. And those who are going to school, those who may be going into accounting positions or wanting to do accounting, they're going into JAWS. So little by little, JAWS is making its way into our community here in Sacramento, but it's only because they're starting to understand that there is a difference between the programs.
What happens, though, when people's needs change?
Well, WindowEye, GW Micro is coming out with 4.0 very soon. And I think what happens with the screen readers is that they play catch-up. One gets a little bit better, the other one catches up. That one goes a little bit ahead, and then the other one catches up. So I believe that GW Micro is going to work on Excel and make it more workable with Excel and make it more workable with tables in Microsoft Word because they have to. It's an absolute necessity that blind people need to access this information. So as their needs change, then the screen reader companies are going to have to change and develop and accommodate the needs of their clients, or the clients are going to leave and go to the other screen reader. I think we see this competition, and it's a very healthy competition. So I think that they are, you know, very equal right now. They're pretty close. But right now, JAWS has the edge in certain areas, where WindowEye has the edge in others.
And what about other products such as Window Bridge and HAL and WinVision? Are they worth the bother at all?
I've recently started working with HAL, and I found it to be a very powerful program. I've never used Window Bridge. I've used Outlook. I've used a couple of the other screen readers. But WindowEye and JAWS seem to be taking off ahead of the pack right now, and I think the others are playing catch-up. There are those who are very devoted to those screen readers, and I don't fault those screen readers at all. I think they're wonderful programs. If they work for you, that's awesome. I'm really happy for you. But I think JAWS and WindowEye have proven themselves to be the pack leaders right now, and that's what people are using.
Do you think that the Freedom Scientific announcement that came out last week, where Hinder Joyce and Ablazy Engineering are now under the one umbrella, will that make a difference for us? Is it going to mean anything in practice?
I'm not sure. I guess all we can do is wait and see what happens. I know that Lazy puts out a very good product, as does Hunter Joyce. I can only hope that by joining their forces, they will come out with even better products that will serve us better. But again, you have to wonder if it might get diluted a bit. Hunter Joyce has been questioned about their lack of technical support. People get very upset with that. And maybe by joining with Blazy, they might get better, or they might dilute it. I don't know. I guess time's going to tell us what's going to happen there. I hope that it's going to be a very positive thing.
I wonder whether it will start a trend, because you've got a very large company now, in blindness terms anyway, like Freedom Scientific, against a relatively small company, which perhaps does have the advantage of a perception of friendliness in GW Micro.
Yeah, you do. And it's like, Hunter Joyce is turning into a monster now, you're right. But again, when they get too big, sometimes they dilute themselves. You know, they become diluted and they can't do what they want to do because they're spread too thin. So we have to wait and see if maybe that might not be the case, but they're spreading themselves too thin by taking on too much. And Hunter Joy or GW Micro might take the opportunity to shoot ahead.
Are blind people paying a fair price for this access technology, or is it overpriced in your view?
I think that due to the market of this, we'll have to keep the price ultimately. And it's very unfortunate on where people could pay monthly maybe until they have the cost of the computer or to get themselves the screen reader they need. I get so many calls every week from people asking, where can I get a computer? I need a computer so I can get on the internet, so I can get a job, and I have to tell them that there's probably only one or two resources and they're so overwhelmed with people wanting to get computers that they can't. But when you're on Social Security or you're on some sort of stipend from the government, there's no way you're going to get a credit card or be able to afford a computer without assistance. And that's a really sad thing.
What's the answer there? Because I suppose that, you know, while conservatives may say that, you know, everybody has to get a computer, of course we've got the access costs on top. But in addition to that, I suppose that a computer can perform functions for a blind person that are really considerably more liberating, potentially employment causing, than say a sighted person. I mean, for some of us, the computer really substitutes for the pen and paper and your personal diary and things like that. So is there some sort of case to be made for government intervention or some sort of intervention to ensure that people do have access to computer technology?
Oh, most assuredly. I know that in my classes that I teach, I have students come in who are angry and frustrated and just feeling so bitter about life because all they've known is dependence. They need help reading their mail. They need help to write letters. They need help to do their checkbook. And as they start to learn computers, I see such a change take over. I see their personalities evolve into ones of independence and self-sufficiency, and they start to get eager for more and more. By the time they leave my class, they're just so high on freedom and on independence and wanting more of it. I can say without a doubt that having some sort of intervention to give every blind person in the world a computer would be a marvelous thing. Is it going to happen? Doubtful. But it would be a wonderful thing if it could, because it is such a liberating thing to go from total dependency to having such a feeling of independence.
But then what often happens is that they are filled with that sense of potential independence, and then they go away and they don't have a computer to work with at home and they forget the skills that they've learned.
Well, what happens in my classes is that they do have the computers when they come into my courses. Fortunately, the Department of Rehabilitation here, who send over a lot of my clients, are very supportive of providing computers for their clients so that they can learn the computers. I haven't yet had anybody who doesn't have a computer come into my course. I've had people call and ask where they can get one. I've given them resources where they can maybe go and see if they can't apply for a grant to get a computer. I've suggested maybe trying to get a loan through a friend or something. But I do wish there was some way that every blind person could get a computer and understand this freedom.
You're listening to Blindline on ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Jonathan Mosen, and we're speaking with Kathy Ann Murtha. We have a call from area code 336. Hello.
Hi, John. This is Jeff from North Carolina.
Hi, nice to hear you. What's your question for Kathy Ann?
Actually, if you don't have to, you know, you don't have to answer this, but how did you go about getting your own domain name?
My own domain name? I went to a website called Vario.com, and I bought it online. I simply filled out the information, and within, I think it was 24 hours, they sent me the information on how I could log on and put up my web page and stuff. I have to pay them to maintain my domain for me, but they also offer me some tools which are very useful. But there are a lot of places online where you can go to whois.net is another place you can go, and you can search to see if the domain is already taken, and if it's not, you can buy it right there. There's a lot of places that will sell them.
Can you give me that address again?
There's one where I went was vario.net, and there's also whois, whois.net. And whois.net will allow you to search to see if a domain name is available, and then you can buy it right there.
Let me guess.
I thought kathyann.com wasn't taken.
Yeah. I guess they pay you, you have to pay through a credit card?
I actually paid through my bank card, my check card.
Mm.
If you have a check card with a MasterCard or Visa on it, it works just like a credit card on the internet.
Oh, lovely. Well, I'll have to check that out. So.
A lot of people don't know that, but it's true. If your bank card has a MasterCard or Visa on it, you can use it just like a credit card on the internet.
Mm. So who is .net?
Yeah, who is .net?
You'll
visit that, and you can search for a domain name that suits you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck.
Sure.
It's quite cool having your own domain name, Kathy Ann, actually, isn't it? I've managed to collect a few, and there are a couple of other sites too people might want to know about. Verio is a very professional outfit too. There are, for example, if you're using a free website provider because you're doing this reasonably cheaply, you can go to a couple of sites, one called namesecure.com and another called Your Name Free, which is a bit misleading, I think, because they still charge you the domain name fee. But both of those sites allow you then to forward your domain to any existing web page. So you could, for example, have mosen.org, which I have, forwarding to members.zoom.com/jmosen.
They're wonderful things. I wish everybody could have one, but they're so vastly expensive. I think they're relatively rare. I know here at the society we don't have one, so if someone came along and wanted to learn it, we'd probably be in big trouble because we don't have one there. We can't afford it. So I experimented with the Braille display a couple times at a couple seminars I went to, and I thought they were wonderful, but I don't own one myself, although it would be really nice.
What speech do you personally like to listen to?
I've been a user of JAWS for Windows since day one. Actually, I started with Outlook, and then I went to JFW. But I also use WindowEye because I teach it, and I have to use it. So I kind of try and flip-flop between the two of them. I'm waiting for 4.0 to come out because the NetApp is supposed to be so much better with WindowEye. So I'm kind of flip-flop between the two, but to be honest, JFW is my preference.
That's interesting. Now, one thing we haven't talked about that you are, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that you're involved with, is the audiotips.com site. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Audiotips.com, it's kind of like a soft spot in my heart for that. I was at the very beginning of Audiotips. I did what was called Audiotips, and I would give little tips on programs, and people could call up and listen to them, everything from creating a filter in Eudora to how to put your control panel in your desk in your start menu. And then it evolved into chat rooms, voice chat rooms where you can literally call, you know, log in and speak to your microphone and hear people talk to you in real time. And I've met so many people off the mailing list through Audiotips that it's kind of fun to go in there and see who's there now. And I'm always amazed at how many people know me and know my website. I still kind of get a shiver whenever someone goes, I know you, I've heard of you. You know, it's almost like, you know, I grew up with you. It feels kind of weird. But Audiotips is a wonderful place, and I hope that anybody listening that has a microphone will go and visit and see what it's all about, because it's a great place to get help in technology, or if you have a problem, to go talk to others who share a common problem with you, maybe. We've talked about everything from the thing with Alien Gonzalez to how to make a filter in Eudora to the latest hotkeys for Highwire.
So what sort of technology is involved? Because you're using the Lipstream client, I think.
What happens when you log on to Audiotips for the first time is the browser downloads the Lipstream interface. And what that does is it allows you then to speak with everybody. And it gives you a text list of the people that are talking, so you'll get to see who they are. When you log on, you put in a screen name, I'm usually Kathy Ann, and then you're put into a room with the other people and you can hear them talking. You simply press your control key if you'd like to participate. A lot of times, just log on and listen.
Okay.
Never say a word.
We've got area code 336, hello.
Sorry, you broke up on me there.
Yeah, we've got a call on the line there. Hello, you're speaking with Kathy Ann Murtha.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Marvin in Louisiana.
Marvin, nice to hear from you.
The net sounds a little garbled this evening.
What, do you mean now or on the actual broadcast itself?
Both places. But anyway, I have a little comment. I'm a...
Sure, go ahead. Do you have a question for Kathy?
Who did we... I am... Okay. Yes, I do. I am a teacher for the visually impaired myself, and in Louisiana, I was the first person who got a computer at the time with Windows 95, and had it not been for someone to, from out of state to come in and do training, no one knew how to do that. So there is a great disparity in training for blind people as far as how to operate Windows and do the things that we need to do.
You're absolutely right. I learned everything I know off the Internet. Literally, the Internet was my school. I would ask questions and get the answers. I never had any formal training in computers.
Well, that's the same thing that I did. I mean, of course, I started out probably like you did in with DOS and moved on to Windows and all that good stuff. But, I mean, and I'm not sure that certification is an answer. I'm not sure there is a good answer to it.
I'm not sure there is either. I do know, however, that there are a lot of people portraying themselves as access technology specialists who know nothing, who can't, you know, who are giving false information.
And that's kind of the way things were here for a while. But, I mean, you know, the bottom line is, I guess you can hang your shingle out and say you're whatever you say you are, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that there must be some sort of, for the protection of all involved, there has to be some kind of standard. I'm interested in the subject too, obviously, and I think one of the things that really concerns me is if we ever got into a stage where people expected you to have some sort of rehabilitation diploma or qualification to be an access technology specialist, because I think that's part of the problem, actually, that people who've studied all the theory about blind people and grief processes and all sort of stuff like that suddenly decide that they're an assistive technology specialist and they don't have an intuition, a feel for the technology.
Well, that's what I ran into here, you know, and it's quite, it's a scary thought, really, because, which I, you know, I'm wondering maybe if it might not be a thing like is done with a certified Microsoft engineer or whatever, to where you could just go take a test, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's an interesting thought, and no doubt there'll be a lot of debate coming up about standards. There already was one with the discussion that we had, well, the discussion that was had at the conference a few weeks ago, where ACB was represented, and so was NFB and a few others. So it'll be a hot topic, and we'll be covering this on future ACB Radio Mainstream programs. So it's very good to hear from you, as always, Marvin. I hope things are well in your part of the world.
Oh, you bet. And Kathy, good to talk with you, and I enjoy your website, and keep up the good work.
Marvelous. Thanks very much for calling. You're listening to Blind Line on ACB Radio, and if you'd like to give us a call, you're most welcome to do that. Our numbers are available in the title bar, but in case you don't have access to that for whatever reason, you can call the New York number. Thanks to spiderphone.com, to who've donated this service to us. It is 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800, and then enter the PIN 10834173. That PIN again is 10834173. Well, we actually seem to have lost Kathy Ann. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but right in the middle of Marvin's call, the line dropped. So maybe she will give us a call back. But if not, we'll certainly have an open program. It's fascinating to talk to Kathy Ann about some of the projects that she has been involved in, and that she's still working on, and that are still to come. But if you'd like to give us a call on any subject, you're welcome to do that in our open forum part of the program. And if Kathy Ann comes back, well, that's fine. She's welcome to sit and do it. Oh, let's see. Are you? Oh, look, we've got them all coming back now. Are you back with us, Kathy Ann?
Yes, I am. I got disconnected.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. You're actually quite faint, but we can hear you, so I'm winding the levels all the way up. We have a question from another caller now. Hello there, this is Blind Line.
Hi, is it me or is it somebody else?
It is you. You are the one. You've been chosen out of thousands.
Ah, thousands and millions. Hi, Kathy Ann, it's Buddy in Dallas.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, and hi, Jonathan.
Hi, nice to hear you.
Yeah, enjoying the show here. Actually, just wanted to comment, first of all, on the whole access technology certification thing. I don't know what the answer is either, but I have observed in working in tech support, I do internet tech support, God help me.
Yes.
That it's pretty much true across the board. Anyone can call themselves a consultant, and all they have to do to do that is to say they are. And, you know, so, and of course, you know, with the certifications and everything, you wouldn't believe the people that call in with MCSEs. We jokingly call them MacSEs. Some of them are so bad. So I don't know if there really is a good answer to that whole thing or not. Sounds like somebody else.
I think the only thing we can do maybe is get the access technology community together and maybe come up with some guidelines and maybe form sort of organization or something and certify those who want to become access technology specialists. But it's up to each one of us in our own communities to make the change and to make things happen for the better and to expose those who aren't doing what they claim they are.
That's probably the best we can do, I would think. And since it's a fairly close knit community. I've been on the blindness related email lists and so forth for several years, and it seems like everybody knows everybody else. So it doesn't seem like it would be that very difficult to do.
I don't think it would be either, and I really think it's workable. I think through the blind tech list that I started, or the access tech list that I started, maybe something could start to happen that would bring us together and allow us to take some sort of certification. If we declare ourselves as an entity, it's a lot harder to try and, you know, rip off our community by being a false person.
That reminds me, I need to join that list. I've been thinking on and off that I'd like to do something with that, and I had kind of played with the idea, but then I got involved in other things and not knowing what I wanted to do when I grew up, so. But anyway.
It's a great list with a lot of good people on it.
Oh, you betcha. I'll be there.
Cool.
I just have to do it. Now all I'm waiting for now is for Lipstream to come out with a Linux client so I don't have to reboot into Windows. I think I'm just going to have to wait. Actually, hopefully I'll be back on Audio Tips again, so we'll be talking to y'all. We'll let somebody else in here.
I look forward to it, buddy.
All right, see y'all.
Thanks for your call, buddy. Bye for now.
You too, and good show, Jonathan.
Thank you. You're with ACB Radio Mainstream, and this is Blind Line. We're speaking with Kathy Ann Murther, and you're welcome to give us a call, and let's take this call now. Hello there.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Patrick, the Tech Talk guy.
Wow.
Know you very well.
You controversial person, you.
Well, I've been offline thanks to somebody crashing my computer very nicely for me. So I've been
let
off
me
for about a week, and I'm not
virus,
quite up all the way.
Virus is all day long.
the only thing is the virus that I got was the person, not a file.
Isn't that always the way? Well, I'm pleased. I know you've been offline because I'm waiting for you to. Are you back online now? You must be, or you wouldn't be listening to the program.
I'm halfway online. My cable modem's broke, so I had to revert to a 56K until I get it fixed.
Okay, because we want to talk to
That's
you.
That's a pain, by the way.
We want to talk to you. Our people want to talk to your people about about your singing files, and people are very interested in how to make the TikTok sing, and we want to do a feature on this on the main menu show, probably for the week after next. We have some more of your files, and we'll be playing them this coming week.
Okay, by the way, just so everybody will know, I'm in the process of trying to write a tutorial for those folks that want to know how to do it.
Can you? I won't ask you these questions now because we're going to do a feature on you on main menu. So anyway, did you have anything for Kathy Ann, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I'll be quiet then. Bye bye.
One of the reasons. That's okay, John. That's okay. Anyway, Kathy, I was just wondering. You know, when you first started. Making your web page, you know, back in 93, and you were doing your thing. What did it feel like? I mean, were you like one of the only blind people doing this thing, or was there anybody else behind you, or did you just start this whole thing out and you were like, what am I going to do now?
Oh, gosh. Well, if I recall correctly, when I first started doing it, I was just really, people weren't too pleased with me. A lot of the blind community thought I was rocking the boat, and they weren't really pleased that I was doing it. sometimes I would write him and say, this is happening with this website, anybody want to help me? And I would just get flamed outrageously by people who thought I was just out of control. And then gradually they started to come around, and it's all happening now, and it kind of left my hands, and it's just kind of a neat thing to watch it blossom, and the W3C came into existence, and now everybody's fighting for accessibility, and it's a really neat thing.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I was, I had a website up at one point, but I lost my password, and I lost all the HTML codes and everything, so I gotta go rebuild it. Oh, darn.
That happens.
Yeah, that's what happens when the computer goes down. I lost just about everything. So, oh well. Except my JAWS key. I didn't lose my JAWS key, thank goodness.
I tell you one thing though, if you want any backups of your DeckTalk singing files, there appear to be lots of them around.
I noticed, because I'm talking to this one guy during the week, and he's been telling me what's been going on all the lists and stuff.
Yes, you know.
I'm devastated since I got my computer. I can't use my DeckTalk. I'm using Eloquence now.
Oh, well, you want to know the truth about it? I don't even own a DeckTalk. I'm doing everything with a demo.
Ah.
Well, are you doing that with XC32?
No, I'm doing it with a little file I downloaded from the digital website that just reads one TXT file, and you have to put everything in this one TXT file and execute the program, and it runs.
Oh,
that worked with a screen reader, unfortunately.
Oh, well, now we'll all be into it.
God.
Now, if you've got any more, I've got your depressed computer, your virus one, the Chris's crashing synthesizer, and your JAWS patch.
Uh-huh.
And if you've got any more DeckTalk ones, get them to me before about Friday when I put my menu together, because we're gonna feature some of them next week.
Okay, I'll have to send them through my AOL account. Yuck.
Oh.
I hate AOL, but this is the only thing I've got right now.
Oh, well, beggars can't be choosers. Well, I'll look forward to that, and keep up the great work, and I'll be in touch, because we definitely want to have a chat to you about these.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Well, I'll be here, so, you know, if you need me, I'm here.
I need you. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Alright, see ya.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Look at that. The room seems so empty now that he's gone. It's Blind Line on ACB Radio. We're with Kathy Ann Murther for a few more minutes. If you have any questions for her about her considerable experience in the technology arena, web advocacy, any of the things that she's been doing, you're welcome to give her a call, and then we'll certainly open up the lines for general discussion. Let's see, I wonder if there's anything that we've missed. You've got some other tutorials coming up, you were telling us, and some new ones that have, I think, just recently come out.
I have re-released my Utilizing Eudora tutorial and my HTML tutorial got one more time because there's a lot of people wanting it. And I'm now finishing up my MSIE tutorial on Internet Explorer. The thing I'm doing with the Internet Explorer tutorial is I'm also putting in instructions specific to WindowEyes and specific to JAWS so that both WindowEyes and JAWS users can use the tools of their screen readers to access the information. I am going to with the 98 tutorial as well as a Word tutorial, and then I've had about 50 requests for different tutorials from people, so I'm going to be very busy over the next 20 or so years.
Yeah, let's go to the phones and see who's here. Hi, this is Blindline.
Well, and a pleasant evening from Northern Sacramento. The great
DJ
puts them in the parents. Hello, Kathy Ann.
High five, Sacramento.
It is. I have a question for you because I heard you quite a while ago on CNET Radio. I guess it was Rose Aguilar who interviewed you there. And at that time, you felt by percentage points that access was not too terribly good on the web. My question is, I'm wondering, by percentage, how much better the web has gotten for us, do you think?
Well, it went from about, I would say, 30% when I first started to maybe 60 or 70% now. I really think it has become far more accessible than at any time in our history, and it's really exciting. We can access so many more things now, from the voice to, you know, people, the frames, and it's a wonderful thing. We're gaining access with each day.
Oh, very good. Very good. So technology is improving for us, and I'd agree with that too, being, you know, all the time, I'm always surfing. I use this great program called Copernic, which allows me to do all kinds of extensive surfing work, and I'm always looking for web pages.
That program is truly awesome. I mean, it makes like the web ferrets look like a child's toy. The fact that you can, you know, I have it searching for news stories at 5:30 every morning, so that when I wake up, I've got searches giving me all the latest blindness news, news about the Beatles, news about different things I'm interested in, and it's all in my email box.
That's right. That's right. It's truly a wonderful search tool. Well, Kathy, you sound wonderful, darling. Streaming real well here, Jonathan. No problem. Good to hear you, sweetheart. You keep up the fine work. I love your newsstand. I think we all agree on that.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a nice evening now.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, darling. Right, this is ACB Radio, and now let's go. Oh, look what's happened here. Every time he goes off, I lose focus. Hang on. We've got another call for you, Kathy Ann. They're all stacking up, and I've got to put it on the air. Here we go. ACB Radio Blind Line, you're speaking with Kathy Ann Murtha.
Hello, my name is Mike Gorman, and I missed the beginning, so I didn't get your actual webpage. And Jonathan, I don't know if it's possible or not, but maybe before you do your Blind Line shows, you're going to know who you're going to interview and have a webpage. You should put it up on yours so people can check it ahead of time.
My dear old thing, there are two ways that we've been doing that. The schedule is on ACB Radio Mainstream and has been since we started the new format last week, so we've had it in the schedule. Also, we always publicise who's coming on our announcements email list or our friends email list. If you just want program information, join the announcements one, and then you don't get any discussion. But if you want to talk to other ACB Radio listeners, then join the friends list, and links to joining either of those lists are on the webpage.
Okay, now I just made a fool of myself. Okay.
Oh, not a problem. There are lots of other people who don't know, and if you don't ask, you don't know, do you?
That's true. Very true.
I'll ask the question of Kathy Ann.
I just wondered what a webpage was, because I didn't get it in the beginning.
It was www.kathyann.com, and that's CathyAnne.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the letter N. That's why it didn't work. Okay. Now, and audio tips is just www.audiotips.com?
Audio-tips.com.
Okay, I've been in that chat room then. Okay, I just want to give that information. I'll get that information.
Thanks very much.
Okay, have a good evening, guys.
Yeah, you too. Okay. Actually, I must say, I went through lots of different permutations of Kathy Ann before I finally got you. I think I started off with K-A-T-H-Y-A-N-N.
You did, really? I didn't think it would be that hard.
Yeah, well, maybe you should register them all. You know?
Oh, yeah. That would be fun. I'd have to maintain 6 versions of it.
You can speculate in domain names, you know. There are people who personalize number plates. You know, people have got quite rich out of domain names.
Yeah, I've heard. I think that they're making it illegal now, though.
Oh.
I heard they were making it illegal to buy, like, celebrity names and then try and sell them for exorbitant prices.
Okay. Oh, the carnival is over. Yeah. And so about is this interview, but it's been fantastic spending an hour with you, and we've covered quite a bit. So, Kathy's newsstand, I did have a question for you about the newsstand, because there's such a huge amount of links on that page. How do you keep the links current and make sure that they're not broken? Do you use some sort of utility to monitor the links?
Well, when I joined with Vario, they had this feature called Net Mechanics, and I let it go and search all of my links, and it gives me web pages which give me the list of the dead links, and I go and weed them out. I just signed up with that, and I weeded out so many dead links that now the newsstand is all fresh and clean, but now I have to put on more links because I took out so many. So I have to go and find these newspapers that have now gotten domain names and stuff. So it's an ongoing process keeping it updated. But I'm going to be checking it every month for dead links and upgrading it little by little. So it's hopefully going to turn into something wonderful.
Is that a free service, the one that gives you the dead links?
No, I pay for it. The newsstand does cost me a bit of money each month, but it's been very worth it because I think it's really a nice service that I could provide the community.
Excellent.
So, and hopefully, as my tutorials develop, I'm going to put my tutorials on CD-ROM and add voice files to them. So hopefully that will, you know, generate a little bit more money and help me support the newsstand so that it doesn't cost me quite so much.
Well, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. I apologize for the delay in getting started, and it certainly has been worth the wait from my point of view to have a chat to you. And we'll make sure we get the cassette to you like we promised, and also I'll send you, once we put this up on the on-demand archives, I'll send you the URL in case you want to link to it.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and thanks to everybody who called in. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, likewise. We'll talk again. Bye for now.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Hi. That's Kathy Ann Murtha from KathyAnn.com, which is the home these days of Kathy's Newsstand, and it is certainly a very impressive site. I'm just adjusting my microphone here and getting a bit organized. If you are interested in all sorts of things, it's not just a list of newspaper links anymore. Really, Kathy Ann has a whole range of things that you can check out, so make sure you do it, kathyann.com. You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. This is Jonathan Mosen, and we're on Blind Line, live from 1 to 3 GMT on a Thursday. That's 9 to 11 Eastern on a Wednesday night. And 6 to 8 Pacific, and it's in New Zealand, 1 till 3 on a Thursday afternoon. Yep, we're heading for a long weekend, of course, and Good Friday is almost here in New Zealand. Actually, it's an exceptionally long weekend in New Zealand coming up, because we have a holiday on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for Easter. And then this year, Tuesday, every year, the 25th of April is Anzac Day, a holiday in New Zealand and Australia when we commemorate people who fought in wars. In particular, it's the anniversary of the 1915 landing in Gallipoli, which was a bit of a disaster, to put it bluntly. And we remember the sacrifice that so many people made for freedom on Anzac Day. So we have quite a long weekend coming up, from Friday right through until everybody's back to work on Wednesday. But we are here on ACB Radio Mainstream, and all the programs will continue as normal. Now, if you'd like to give us a call about any issue that you would like to talk about, you're welcome to do that, because we still have about three quarters of an hour or more to go, because we might finish a little later, given that we started a little late today. And so we'd like to hear from you. If you'd just like to say hi, you've got any questions about ACB Radio and the services that we offer, or some suggestions, or anything at all, there must be something that you'd like to talk about. Technology-wise, there have been some interesting developments this week. Had a couple of press releases come across the desk, one from GW Micro, the other from Henda Joyce, saying that there's considerable work being done with the PDF format, which is good news. In fact, I would say that PDF in this case stands for pretty darn fine, because we could do with some better access to some PDF files. For instance, in some PDF files that you get these days, you load up the Adobe Access plugin and you find that you can't export the data to text or HTML. They seem to have some sort of ability to lock you out of that, which is a bit of an access nightmare at times. So apparently, it looks like WindowEyes and JFW are working with Adobe to give us access, much like the MSAA mode in WindowEyes or the JAWS the virtual cursor in JFW. So you just be able to load up a PDF document and off it will go. That'd be nice. And we've got a request in to somebody at Adobe to talk to us on main menu about that. So stay tuned and we'll try and get that. So that's good news. You may want to talk about that. What else can we talk about? Anything at all, really. If you've got anything that you'd like to raise, it's certainly an open forum. We did have a pretty lively discussion last week that started to liven up just as the program was finishing. And that was to do with operating systems. So if you have any comments, if you're a Linux user, Matt Campbell's been doing a great feature on Linux Access on the main menu show, and if you've been giving that a try, I'd be interested in hearing about that. If you've downloaded the ZipSpeak installation, what do you think about it? Is it a viable alternative, in your opinion, to the Windows interface? You've certainly got access to a lot of applications these days in Linux, your MP3 players, and we are now actively providing links to FreeAmp so that Linux users can hear us, and I understand that works okay with the screen reader, Linux Speak Up, that's what it's called. And so if you've tried that, that'd be interesting as well. Pretty much anything goes. If you'd like to give us a call and say hello, I'll give you the details. The area code is 212, the number is 812-2800. That's area code 212 and then 812-2800. You'll then be asked to enter a PIN, and that PIN number is 108-34173. And all that information is on the title bar, if you're listening to this live, of your
web browser, of your audio player rather, so that pin number 108-34173, after you've dialed the number. I'd like to hear from you because it's pretty dull talking to yourself, and that's not very much fun at all. Let me tell you while we hopefully wait for your call about what we have coming up on Main Menu this weekend. Main Menu, by the way, did have a bit of a success the other day. We were number one on the entire Live 365 system out of nearly 7,000 broadcasters. That's not too bad. So people are tuning in, and we appreciate that. We hope to keep up the quality for you. Now, on Main Menu, well, a very interesting mixed bag, and I'm just trying to think of who we've spoken to. Well, we're going to be looking at how you can free yourself from the computer when you're listening to stations like ACB Radio and the many other internet radio stations that you can hear on the net. And we're going to be speaking with Mike Calvo, who is a blind person himself, and he is involved with In-House Networks, who make the Radio Webcaster. And he'll be talking not only about what they offer now, but what they are going to offer in the near future. And believe me, there are some surprises in there that I think will have many people wowed. I was pretty impressed when we recorded the interview with Mike about some of the things that he's got coming up. I know it's going to be of real interest when you hear about the Radio Webcaster. Now, there's a new service called Know UK. That's spelled K-N-O-W UK. And this is an amazing reference tool. And the National Library for the Blind of the UK have given blind people around the world free access to this if you sign up with this National Library for the Blind. And so we're going to be speaking with Joanna Widows from the National Library for the Blind of the United Kingdom all about that and exactly how you can use that service. There's a lot more, and I will tell you about that as we go through the program. Area code 337, hello.
Hi, John. It's me, Marvin, again.
Oh, you're sounding much clearer now. You're doing the real thing.
Yes, this is the real McCoy here.
Yeah.
Which I did download ZipSpeak, and I'm still in the process of getting it running. But I still think that we need a choice, and I'm glad we have a choice. Granted, yes, I do 95% of what I do in Windows, which I never thought I would ever hear myself say that.
You've really got it mastered now. You feel quite comfortable in that environment.
Definitely. I mean, I figured that I would be the last man in the United States to give up the command line.
Is there anything that you're still doing at the command line at this stage?
Yes. A few, like file management and things like that, where you have to move a bunch of files and say, oh, they're in a folder and you want everything that's WIN *.*. I might want to move all those out of one directory into another. And I've not found an easy way with Windows Explorer and a fast way to do it, so I just dropped the DOS and moved them.
I'll tell you something interesting. What you mean, like, you can delete everything from a directory or move it, but of course, it's what I find a bit of a problem is when you want to move a certain file spec. For example, if you've got a directory full of text files, doc files, MP3 files, and you just want to move the MP3 files, that is a bit of a mission with Internet with Windows Explorer.
Right, that's what I do a lot of in DOS. Is yeah. If I have a lot of MP3s and WAVs mixed together, and say I want to move the WAVs out, I drop to DOS and move those WAV files or those MP3s to another directory in one fell swoop.
Now, one of the things that worries me, though, it doesn't worry me much anymore because I hardly do anything in DOS except for maybe, you know, the kind of thing you're talking about, but I noticed when I first started using Windows 95, I think it must have been, because I've been using Windows since 3.1 and even loving it then, but I remember that one of the things that really used to get me was that you would do del *.* from a directory and then think, whoops, I didn't really want to do that, and the undelete command doesn't work. I mean, it used to work in DOS 6.2, but undelete does not.
I know. I found that out the hard way the first time I tried to use it.
I think I seem to recall there's a fix for that, which is why I mentioned it. Maybe somebody can tell us how you undelete a mess like that you've made if you accidentally delete in DOS. But yeah, so you're going to give Linux a go, though. Have you actually had it fired up and running at this stage?
The kernel that I have a synthesizer, the light talk, I think they call it, And for some reason, when it runs, it says there's a keyboard error, command mistype in the compiler of the kernel. So I got to get a hold of our Linux guru on that. But it does run. It fires up. I had to do some strange things to get it there, though.
Well, you never know. Matt Campbell, who is the ultimate Linux guru when it comes to not just Linux, but issues relating to blindness and Linux in particular, he might even be listening and he might be able to tell you, or he might drop you an email, or you might drop him. He's now got a matt@acbradio.org address, so you could always drop him an email.
Actually, I sent an email to both of his addresses.
Oh, well, they go to the same place, so...
All right. Well, I enjoyed it again, but I think that Linux is a good thing. I mean, of course, I use it because I work on weekends as an internet tech support person, and our service is a Linux shop, so I use it anyway. You know, so it's not going to be that big of a deal to me, except for now I'll have Linux on my machine. When used to, I would telnet into the service, and I would have to use it there. So, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of things that they're going to change for me.
You got any good tech support stories?
I've got lots of them.
Can you think of one?
Yeah, I can, and it's a very short one, and it's really funny. I had a man who called... And he said that he couldn't receive his email. And I mean, he called and he would swear. And so finally I said, look, forward me one of your email messages that are getting bounced. So he forwards me this email message, and which this is something I didn't know, but apparently on AOL you can block people's addresses out where you never see them. The message just gets bounced. And in this message, it said plainly that this message has been blocked by this AOL recipient. So I call the guy and tell him, look, your AOL friend doesn't want to hear from you, and I got a cousin and a subscription cancellation.
Oh, no. It's incredible, isn't it? And even experienced users do it. I was trying one of these new free internet service providers here the other day and couldn't log on. You know, I'd done everything right and couldn't log on. And I even got to the point where I rang them up. And it turned out that I was doing something ridiculous, like I had the caps lock key on and didn't realize. And so I was putting my user ID in an uppercase. So we can all do it.
We get lots and lots of the all caps thing. I mean, I probably get half a dozen of those a weekend.
Man, it must be... I mean, being a tech support person must require incredible patience, I would imagine.
It does, and that's the thing that I've trained a few people for technical support, and that's the one thing I never could stress enough, is to be patient with those people. They do not know as much as you do.
Forgive
a
them,
lot
they
of
know
them,
not what
they just
do.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they barely know how to turn their machines on, and it just takes a lot of patience with them. And I know you get asked the same question, and I'm sure Buddy could tell you the same thing, because you get the same question 100 times a day.
Well, you're a most patient man, and it's very nice to hear from you, and thank you for rescuing me from talking to myself.
Oh, have a good one.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
Virus is all the law. You have a virus, tell your computer to on. You're screwed.
Dun, dun, dun.
You're screwed.
Oh, how rude.
Ha ha ha. It got busted.
Virus. Virus, oh yeah!
This is ACB Radio Mainstream, and if you'd like to give us a call, well, this is Blind Line, and that's what it's all about. Phone us. The number in New York is area code 212 212-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I enjoy talking to you, so give us a call. Oh, you've got to enter a PIN. Thanks to the Spiderphone people. 108-34173, once you get in. That's 108-34173. That's the PIN number from Spiderphone to get in and talk to us here on ACB. We have a free board at the moment, so if you call in, you'll get right on the program, and you won't need to even hold, so it makes it nice and cost-effective for you. Of course, you can also use some of the long-distance... some of the free long-distance providers on the PC. Delta 3 works pretty well with it because you can send touch tones. I think you can do it with dial pad. And looking on the FAQ the other day for my free LD, they tell us you can't do it at the moment, but they're working on it. So give us a call, and we'd really like to hear from you because we still have a wee while on the program to go. So make the most of it. There must be something that's happened. Still, a lot of attack from the powers that be on the ADA. I noticed there was an interesting item that came through yesterday that said that there was going to be a decision made, I think even by the Supreme Court, yes, it is the Supreme Court, a decision made about whether it is constitutional for somebody to take the states to court under the ADA for employment-related decisions. And there's some suggestion that that contravenes the 11th Amendment. So the ADA is really under attack. Also an interesting item that I thought was a little... Let's come back to that because we have a call on the line. Hello, line. I'm very... Who's this?
This is Tim Cummings from Massachusetts. How
are you?
Good, good. I had a couple of comments for you. We just put your... our ViBug working very nicely.
Oh, that's excellent.
And we're very... the question I had for you is, any one-minute cut feature...
Yes, we've just done that. And I couldn't over the tell you how it's done, forget, but it's using the HTML code. And if you go to the help...
Okay. I noticed they've also changed the name of the program. It was called Hear Me, and I guess it's now called something else.
I think it's still Hear Me. It used to be called Hear Me Voice Presence, and now it's called Hear Me Something
Else. Right.
The other thing that people might be interested in is that Hear Me is offering another product which is quite cool. It sits in your system tray, and essentially what you do is you give people the URL to talk to you, and as long as you're online and you've got this thing sitting in the system tray, whenever anyone visits your web page, you get a little noise to tell you that somebody's wanting to talk to you, and you just start talking.
Well, it's a great program. We have it set up on our website. And we also have we've got a link on our page to your site there, and we've also got a link to the Kansas City users group. They have it on their web page as well. So it's really a great little product. And we do a chat every week on Thursday nights on our site for people around 8 o'clock Eastern time. If anyone's interested.
Okay, so tell us a bit about what people can find on that site and where it is.
Oh, sure. Our website is www.vibug.org. That's Visually Impaired and Blind Users Group, and we have minutes from all our past meetings. We have some real audio up on our site. We have a lot of sources of information that links that people can get to. And I'm the webmaster, so I'm a little biased about it. But it's a nice site, and I was glad to hear Kathy Ann on earlier, because I actually learned how to write HTML through her original tutorial.
There must be a lot of us who started
HTML
that way.
3.2. Yeah. And another place that people might be interested in terms of getting HTML instruction, which I found very helpful, was the HTML Writers Guild. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yes, I have heard of them. So you're still using... it's the delay that does this.
I
could do something about it.
Sure.
You're still writing HTML, like, you know, as code in Notepad or whatever.
Yes, I still hand code. I haven't started using any of the WYSIWYG tools as yet. I'm probably going to be looking into some of them and finding a good one. I've heard there are some pretty good ones out there, but yeah, I still basically pretty much hand code all my pages.
So how do people find the HTML Writers Guild?
It's their page is http://www.hwg.org, and take online classes through them, and it's quite good. I actually took an HTML 4.0 class with them, and I bought the textbook, and I have a scanner here, and I came with a CD which had all the code examples on it, so that was quite nice. One more thing, another guest suggestion for either this program or Main Menu, wherever he'd fit in, I think a great person to have on your show who was in radio for a long time and puts out a great magazine is Ed Potter, who puts out Playback. I don't know if you've heard of that publication or
I
not.
I sure have, and actually you're not the first who suggested that, and we definitely must do that, because it's been a while. What, it's about 20 years old, that magazine?
And it's really for anyone who wants to keep up on what's surrounding audio and new devices and everything. I mean, he covers everything from microwave ovens to new tape recorders, and he's a really interesting guy, and he has a lot of good contributors to the magazine. So, I definitely think he'd be a great guest for you.
That's excellent. Well, so but that's vibug.org at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Vibug.org.
Yep, and people can come along there.
Eastern time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Yes, and I will definitely go and check out how to disable that code. But I gotta tell people that, and I've used audio tips, and I like it, but I have to say that Hear Me Presence is a great little chat setup. I mean, it's basically six lines of JavaScript that you just plop on your page, and bingo, you have a chat site set up, and it's really a fabulous little program.
No doubt about it. And I'll tell you something, it's a hell of a lot less buggy than Lipstream as well. It doesn't have problems with half as many browsers and stuff that the Lipstream client does.
No, and you know, the other nice thing about it is the software, first of all, there's a little window that pops up that tells you who's talking, and second of all, you don't have, it only allows one person to talk at a time,
yeah.
So you don't have four people talking over each other at the same time.
Well, I hope
so
people join
great,
you for your chat, and because what they can do is sort of hang out there for an hour and then come back to ACB Radio at 9 and hear Michael Loff on Handy Talk.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad that you told me when he was going to be back on, because I haven't heard his show in a while. But I love your new format, Jonathan, and I love the new setup with ACB Radio. You're doing a great job, and I may be sending you some stuff in the future, so I'll be in touch with you.
Well, that's very kind of you, and I'll look forward to receiving anything. And if you get stuck with that increasing the timeout, just drop me an email, and I'll ferret out my documents.
Great, super. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thanks for phoning.
Have a great night.
Yeah, okay, bye now.
Okay.
This is ACB Radio Blind Line, and you're welcome to give us a call if you would like to, and let's take this call here. Hello there.
Hello, it's Area Code 559, Dave and Pam.
Well, you must have your number blocked, or using one of those long-distance carriers that doesn't show us, but how are you, Dave? Nice to hear you.
Oh, well, very good. We're quite well, and yes, we're using one esoteric long distance carrier because we only have to pay 7 cents a minute for a long distance day or night out of state, and so that's why we choose that one.
What a bargain!
Yeah, I think so. And we're sitting here just enjoying Blind Line, eating steaks that I've just taken off the barbecue.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Dave. What was that?
I said we're just sitting down, finishing up the steaks that I've just barbecued. So, my first barbecuing of the season. I do like to do that, and finally got around to it tonight.
Well, now, what's the secret to successful barbecuing?
Well, or not, you want to devote Mainstream entirely to talk, or whether you want would permit or welcome or whatever the term is, commercially recorded music, especially I guess your ASCAP, you're on 365, I guess. I saw that member of ASCAP message. What would you be interested in? And I know there has been commercial music, or at least it seems as though there's been in the past, but I'm just curious to know whether or not you what you want to do, because I'm having trouble coming up with ideas anyway, but I enjoy doing something, and I haven't figured out what yet. I don't want to do something just because I want to do something.
We are quite happy for blind people to host a general commercial music show on ACB Radio Mainstream. It's not necessarily an exclusively talk network. And one of the things that is good about being with Live 365 is that we have their ASCAP license working with us, so they do actually license so that it is no problem for us to play commercially recorded music.
Yeah, that's what I thought I read. In fact, I must say last night I was having, or the other day, I knew that it was supposed to be possible to read the last three songs, and last night I finally figured out that I needed to maximize my window. And then I was able to read the last three songs.
Yeah, it's good. If people listen through Live 365, we've got a link for all of our streams that says listen through Live 365. You can rate the stream. One thing that we've found is that we've been plummeting down because people haven't followed the instructions that we've put in our support section. If you just arrow through that combo box without opening it with alt down arrow first, which is the way you should always open a combo box, then the first choice that you arrow through is selected. And so a lot of blind people have been accidentally giving us 0 out of 5, which is a bit of a bad one.
Oh dear. Okay, I haven't played with that yet. I really mean to, because you have done a very, very good job on it. And this is my own hang-up, the fact that I was told I wanted to check something else out, that I would lose the page or change the stream. So I went ahead and clicked, and indeed I did. But what the hey, you just go back to Winamp or RealPlayer if you decide you want to do something else with music in the background.
Yeah, and the key advantage of using Live 365 to hear the streams is, as you rightly say, you can see the songs that we're playing, and that's particularly good in the cafe because it shows you the artist and the title and everything.
Mm-hmm. Great. I know there was something I was, and I'm trying to think to ask you, but it seems to have escaped me at the moment. So.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
Don't you know? Okay, I'll free it up for someone else, and maybe if I think of it quickly, I'll call back if it's not busy.
Not a problem. Nice to hear from you, Pam.
You just take care, Jonathan.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is ACB Radio Mainstream, and the board is now free, so if you want to give us a call, thanks to Spiderphone, the lines are still open, and the number in New York is 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800. I suppose technically that's a Manhattan area code. I don't know whether New Yorkers are sensitive about these things or not. Anyway, it is 212-812-2800, and then enter the PIN, thanks to Spiderphone, 1083... Now, I have been able to survive without writing it down right throughout this whole program, so why have I suddenly forgotten it? Must be fatigue. Let me bring it back. Here we go. 1083-4173. And the lines are free. And if we don't get a call, I'll have to play, some incidental music. Like...
Virus is a law.
You know, I mean, I can cope with that. So give us a call. Your Mainstream. I was telling you what was coming up on Main Menu at some point, and I don't think I finished that. So we are talking about Caster from In-House Networks. That'll be interesting. We're also going to be talking about Know UK, the service where this handy little reference service that's been set up. And so you can find out all about that. And what else? Gosh, there's all sorts of things actually coming up this week. We will be looking at... a DJC is going to be talking about the Windows Registry. Even the very mention of the word makes me break out in a cold sweat. The Windows Registry, that wonderful challenge. And Scott Rakowski has a review of a wonderful MP3 to CD piece of software to easily turn your MP3s into audio CDs if you have a CD burner. Matt Campbell will also be back, looking at Linux, and lots more, all coming up on Main Menu on Sunday night Eastern Time, 1 to 3 GMT. Is Heidi going to talk on the blind line? Hello, Heidi.
Hello, Daddy.
How are you?
Thank you.
I'm pleased you came in because no one wants to ring me up. Mm. I've been sitting here talking to myself. Mm. So I'm pleased that you've come to talk to me. Mm. You've been on holiday, haven't you?
Yeah.
From kindy?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Go to buy a birthday present.
Pardon?
Birthday present.
Birthday present for Daddy?
Yeah.
Do you know when Daddy's birthday is?
No.
It's Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
But who's coming? Turn. You have to turn this way, darling, because here's the microphone. That's better. So who's coming to visit you before Daddy's birthday?
Don't know.
Well, what's this weekend?
Don't know.
It's Easter.
Easter, yeah. Easter Bunny.
Easter Bunny's coming to visit. That's right.
And then, yeah.
Then on Monday, it's Daddy's birthday.
Yeah.
What have you got Daddy for his birthday?
Undies.
I didn't expect you to say. Well, that's nice. What colour are they?
Brown.
Yeah. Oh, you're going away now? Well, she's all upset because her mother, mummy told her off for saying what she got for my birthday. Oh, it's all right. You can come back. Oh, now she's run off all upset because her mummy yelled at her for saying what she got for my birthday. Oh, dear. Major drama. Can you hear the noise in the background? Now she's all upset. Hear that? Isn't that terrible? That's live radio for you. And she didn't even shut the door. This is ACB Radio on Blind Line. If you'd like to give us a call, having a bit of a slow day today after a number of people had an excellent chat with Cathy Ann Murtha earlier from Cathy's newsstand. Now it's cathyann.com. Maybe you've found a website that you would like to tell us about that you're particularly interested in. We can talk about that. If you've got anything else that you'd like to tell us about, well, that's fine. Otherwise, we might just fill the rest of the program with some music or something. So give us a call, and I guess if we don't hear from you in the next couple of minutes, well, we'll shut the lines down and see if we can play you some nice music to fill up the rest of the time. Michael Loff is on Thursday evening Eastern Time from 9 till 11 Eastern, 9 till 10 Eastern with Handy Talk. And also we've got a new technology program tomorrow straight after that, which we haven't actually put in the schedule yet. From Britain, and there'll be some interesting reviews and things in there too, so I'll try and update the schedule in the next little while to reflect that. If you choose the mainstream page on the ACB Radio site, then you will be able to go and look at the schedule. We update it regularly, so if you want to know what's on mainstream, just choose the mainstream link underneath all the links for listening with Winamp, and you can look, there is comes that we have radio announce list and a blank message to acbradio-announce@egroups.com. Just a blank message there, acbradio-announce@egroups.com, and you can also send a message if you'd like to subscribe. I'm sorry, I'm giving you incorrect. Subscribe@egroups.com. That's how you get on the list. acbradio-announce-subscribe@egroups.com. And there's also the ACB Radio Friends list, which is a discussion list that tells you all about what it is that we're doing, as well as allows people to discuss the program content with us. So you're welcome to join either of those lists. Well, it sounds like we're not going to have any more calls today, which is fine. I guess it's a bit of a slow day, and that's the way it is sometimes. So I'm going to play you some music. Wow, let's have a look. I don't know what I feel like. Oh, we'll play some novelty songs. You've got to play some novelty songs here. What have we got? I'm just going through the list of amazing.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that I could. A guy that's so much wiser, and he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, great doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bang, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bang, bang. You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy that's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you, oh baby. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang.
Join in now.
Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang.
There you go, that's David Sebel and the Witch Doctors. What a great old song. And we actually do have a...
Hi, Jonathan. Paul Henriksen here.
How are you? Nice to you.
Pretty good. I was just playing with Microsoft keyboard, and I thought I'd tune into Blind Line and test a pull and the pause and the play and such, how it worked.
And does it work?
Yeah, it works pretty well. It works better than it does with real audio, I will say that.
What happens when you use it with
the
that?
Volume control works and everything.
Oh, okay.
Control worked and everything.
Yeah, that's very excellent. On a Blind Line sometime, actually, and have a chat to you, and people can ask you all sorts of tricky questions about why their K1000 is doing this.
That's right. We could do that, couldn't we?
How's your FTP side going?
It's going fine. It seems like since we switched it to outofsight.org, I've been getting a lot more mail. I kind of think it's one of the best things I ever did.
Oh, I'm pleased. Don't forget the NZ at the end.
That's right. That's right. Outofsight.org.nz.
Yes, this is one of these wonderful language difficulties that we have. I suppose most Americans understand that Z means Z, do they?
Well, I assume they do. I think I knew that it did, but one time I was talking to Stephen Baum, who actually sent me an email message, and he said he couldn't get into the site. And I had put the message, the header in the bottom of my message telling people what my web address was and what my FTP site was, and I had mistakenly forgotten to put the NZ in there. So, of course, he went there and found out all of a sudden that he couldn't get there. And I thought, that's odd, because I know I've been there uploading things. So I had to tell him, yes, you're right, I forgot the NZ.
So tell me a few people who might be interested in finding out whether that's a worthwhile purchase.
Well, I went to look at the keyboards after hearing about or reading some of the things on the list about the Logitech One Touch that I think you're thinking about. And my wife and I happened to be out at CompUSA last week, and we indeed saw the One Touch keyboard. And then we also saw the Pro version of that, and which surprised me because I remember you telling me the One Touch was just a straight keyboard, and I had kind of got used to the Microsoft keyboard. So we looked at the two boxes, and we found that they were, as far as the Logitech is concerned, they are identical, except for you pay, I think, $70 for the one-touch keyboard and $120 or $130 for the Pro, which is the Microsoft version, which is the split version of the keyboard.
It's actually iTouch, by the way, like as an internet. What do you mean by split keyboard? Can you explain what that is?
Well, you know, the Microsoft keyboard that Microsoft came out with a few years ago, I guess, where they've taken the home row, or not the home row, but the A through Z and the number keys, and they've kind of split them down the middle between, G and H, I guess we could say, and all the keys in between, and they split them, and then they've taken each side of that keyboard and they've tilted it slightly. Supposedly to give you a more nice ergonomic typing surface. And so these new Microsoft keyboards have been out for quite a while, and they're split. It's kind of funny because they put the 6 on the left hand, where it's probably really should be on the right hand. But
is that what they mean by Microsoft Natural Keyboard?
Yes, exactly. Exactly, that's the Microsoft Natural Keyboard.
I've never used one of those.
And iTouch. Excuse me?
I've never used one of those. I wonder what it would be. What does it feel like? Is it good to use?
It takes some getting used to, like anything else, but I find that once I went to that keyboard, I really don't want to go back because your wrists are separated when you're on that keyboard. Your wrists are kind of out into your left wrist is kind of leaning more towards the rest. It kind of puts your arms at a more natural typing position. So it's quite a nice keyboard once you get used to the idea that your index fingers are quite kind of separated more. They're farther apart. Your hands are farther apart.
So is the keyboard that you finally ended up purchasing, is that cordless?
This particular keyboard is not. This is one that Microsoft puts out, and I didn't really care if I had a cordless keyboard, although I thought that was very interesting that you were, when you were talking, I think on Main Menu, they were talking about using the cordless keyboard, and then they would buy themselves a cordless headset, and then you could carry the keyboard around the house with your headset and type on the net because you were not tied to the screen. I want a cordless keyboard, so I went around looking for keyboards, one with a cord, and I found this Microsoft keyboard. It sells for about $70 U.S. It has 16 buttons across the top. It has three more besides that. Just over the print screen, scroll lock, and whatever that last key is called.
Anything. If you get something and you really like it, you just get so used to it. But one of the things I really enjoy is the freedom, for example, to go to the breakfast table in the morning and sit there with my breakfast and surfing the local newspaper, you know, reading what's in the news and browsing through the stories and hearing it coming over the kitchen radio. And I guess that's the closest thing I've ever had to having the freedom of sitting at the breakfast table and reading the newspaper like anyone else.
Exactly. That's true. And this is out now. iTouch, Logitech has their group, and I don't recall if I saw any Microsoft ones. I might have seen a Microsoft one, but there's about two or three other vendors that actually have cordless keyboards out that are multimedia keyboards as well that CompUSA has on display there.
I think one of the issues that one has to be careful of when purchasing these is that some of them are infrared, which is no good for what many of us want to use it for, which is to take it considerable distances, because infrared is line of sight and radio tends to be more tolerant of not being line of sight. And although on the Logitech box and the guarantee, they only guarantee a 6-foot radius, I mean, it goes much, much further than that in reality.
One of the nice things about this Microsoft keyboard is that it also has two USB ports on the back of the keyboard. And I thought that might become helpful in the future.
So you can, plug any USB device in there?
That's correct. I actually had my DSL modem plugged into it, and I was kind of putting what they do is they give you the standard keyboard plug, and then they also give you a USB plug. And they state in the instructions that you don't have to use the USB plug if you just want to use the keyboard in and of itself. But if you want to have access to the two ports on the back of the keyboard, then you do in fact have to plug in that USB port into your computer.
That's a pretty nifty idea. Yeah. Now, in case anyone hasn't caught up with the fact, and just give the address for people.
Well, sure. I started this site about years ago, and I actually started with Logies. I started it as a site when they were taking down the art days, and I started as a site where people could go up and get set CFG files in those days. And then I got on the web and I started telling people if they had any unique programs, why not send them to me? And I gathered up some. And
sorry, are you still with us, Paul? We seem to have lost Paul. What a shame. I don't quite know what happened to him there. But whatever it is, he seems to have gone. Just like that. So, I'm sorry about that, Paul. Yep.
I don't know how you're running for time, but there's an article that I've just picked up about ACB Radio and the New Zealand Listener.
Is there? Well, actually, we have got a bit of time, if you would like. I'll just...
about you.
Oh, unfortunate. Is it accurate?
Relatively.
Hang on, then. We'll just get out of here. Okay, well, to end Blind Line on a somewhat dodgy note, Amanda says that in one of New Zealand's nationwide news publications, it's a weekly magazine, which is quite a large circulation, there is something about ACB Radio in there. So I don't know whether... Well, never mind about the copyright. Do you want to read that?
It's the radio review by Roy Colbert, and it's entitled On the Button, and it has a picture of Jonathan at the top of it, with Jonathan Mosen spelt correctly underneath.
I should hope so.
A friend of mine with bad eyes says he doesn't listen to much radio because when his sight goes, he will be listening all the time. No need to rush things, he says. My friend is a half-wit, but it set me to thinking as to how important radio is for the blind. Peter Neville lost his sight in the late 1980s. He was a keen radio listener before then, and he's a much keener one now. In 1991, he began the show Blind So What with the Dunedin community station Hills AM, and he ran this for 5 years. He hasn't been replaced. We'd love to have him back, says station manager Roz Rice, but we just can't find anyone. Sometimes we feel it's because people think they could never do it as well as Peter. It was such an important show. It's vital for blind people to hear people talking to them. And Peter was great. We just made him touch the microphone and he was away. The doyen of New Zealand blind broadcasters is Jonathan Mosen, whose fame is worldwide. Mosen ran a New Zealand internet radio station from Wellington, jingles, live programs, music, old-time radio, the whole bit, which caught the attention of the American Council of the Blind last year. They tried to find someone who could set up a similar station in the US, but in the end, the New Zealander was the only one.
Oh,
and
wow.
Mosen had it up and running, http://www.acbradio.org, in just 3 weeks. And I was standing for Parliament at the same time, says Mosen, who had been lobbying in Parliament the day I rang him in Wellington. Blind since birth, the man is, how would you say, a doer. He's a huge believer in the potential of internet radio. Radio caters for a geographical community only, he says, but internet radio caters for a community of interest, and that community is worldwide. Mosen is a very literate voice on radio. He reads Braille text aloud at 300 words a minute. I don't think that's allowed. I think that's silently, but anyway. How fast...
Yeah.
How fast is that? My wife starts the timer. I am reading Fool's Paradise aloud as fast as I can. 2:31. As Mosen says, people are always telling him he doesn't sound blind. Peter Neville listens to everything but the ads. They so often talk about how things look, which is useless to blind people. Well, maybe to him. He particularly enjoys cricket commentator Jeremy Coney. He paints such a vivid picture, you can see the whole thing. He's terrific, and he explains everything so well. Does Peter ever wonder what sort of bodies belong to the radio voices? Yes, he says, but doesn't everyone? He thinks Jenny Shipley always sounded big, but he was stunned to hear television's Judge Judy was a tiny little thing. Pam Corkery he enjoys, but couldn't possibly